Our Bible reading today comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 23, and it'll be read by Nikki Westover. Over to you, Nikki, for our reading.
Hello, church family. Today's reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 23. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychius, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may also know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nikki, for reading for us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that in your mercy and grace, your word is living and active, and we pray that as it is explained, it will help encourage and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes life can be a breeze, a joy, and there will be some here listening today for whom that may be true. Sometimes though life is not like that, it's hard. It can be true of us as individuals and it can be true for us as a community. And I guess over these last months we've been very aware of that reality, both individually and as a community. Corrie ten Boom said that when her sister died in a concentration camp, all the shed mourned. And churches can experience times when it seems as if life is tough, hard because we find it hard to make inroads to a godless society, hard because people are struggling in relationships, hard because life is not as we wish it to be. And so we can feel that life is a battle. Now, how we approach that battle is important. The truth is, Paul has been reminding the Christians at Ephesus that they are on the victory side. He's made that crystal clear. Christ is central to everything. He is the head of the church. He is victorious. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, we read these words. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Christ is victorious. His way is shown to be right. And you and I have to recognize that that's the reality. But also we have to know that we're in a battle. And if you're in a battle, the first thing you need to know is that this battle is worth fighting. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul has made it crystal clear from the beginning of this book to now that the great issue in the battle is not us as individuals, but God's glory. He has made it crystal clear that we are in a battle in the spiritual realms, a battle in the heavenly realms. Here is the place of supreme blessing, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 3, and supreme battle. And Paul warns us that the battle is severe because of who we fight. Our fight is against personal demonic forces of evil, and they have power. Now, the people of God tend to make one of two errors about the devil and his forces. One is to discount his existence, to ignore his power totally. The other is to overemphasize both his power and what he can do, and to see him in everything. Everything becomes the devil's fault. Now, Paul tells us here that our enemy is powerful. Verse 12 makes that crystal clear. He is wicked. That's there in verse 12 and verse. And then verse 11 tells us that he's cunning. He's a schemer. The devil loves to scheme against God's people. We had a schoolmate at school. He was a schemer. He was a really quite bright lad. He managed to work out ways, and we still couldn't quite work out how he did it, how he managed to get the window to rattle so it sounded like somebody was knocking on the door. And he managed to make a chalk catch fire on the blackboard, much to the teacher's surprise. The amazing thing was he never got implicated. Although he was the schemer, he never got implicated. And that's exactly what the devil is like. He has evil schemes which work against God and his people, but he tries to make sure he is never implicated. This is a real battle. God and his purposes are the issue here, not individual Christians. You may feel the devil has it in for you, but he only has it in for you because he has it in for Christ and his cause. I was listening to a soldier from recent battles in Afghanistan, and he said he had nothing personally against those he fought against. He was fighting against what the nation stood for, the evil regime there. The reality of a battle is that that's the case. And in the same way, Satan is against you, but only because he is against God and his ways. Never doubt that you as a Christian are in a battle for God's glory that is worth fighting. That's why as a church, we actually try and make sure that we are being built up as God wants and told us in chapter 4, verse 22 and 23. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, to put on your new self. We want to rightly live in relationship, follow Christ's God's example, therefore, chapter 5, verse 1, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love. We want to be pure, verse 3, but among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality. We want to use our time as best we can, as chapter 5, verse 15 encouraged us to. We want to model our home life as God wants us to. Why do we do those things? To bring God glory. And that's what the devil wants to undermine. And so he undermines us as we try to do those things. This truly is a battle worth fighting, my friends. For the issue is God's glory. And the issue is that Christ will be seen as who he rightly is. But if we are to fight the battle, we need to be prepared. That's the nature of any battle, isn't it? If you're going to fight it well, you need to be prepared. If a soldier ended up on the battlefield without any armament or protection, we'd say they were very stupid. So how do we prepare for this battle? Well, we're told, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's a brilliant battle here. We are to be strengthened, but it is in the Lord. That is such a great combination, and the way God and we, his people, work in partnership in this battle, in this fight. We are not told to be strong, you know, gird up your loins, do your best. We're not told that. That would be a false confidence. We're told to be strong in the Lord. And that means to be growing, spirit-filled, interacting with God's people as we can. If we are stagnating, self-reliant, isolated, we will not be strong in the Lord, we'll be wobbly. And then the battle will overwhelm us. You see, if you and I have it clear, as chapter 1, verse 3 told us, that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, if we are strong in the Lord's ability to provide everything we need, we're far more likely to survive in the battle. Paul's point here is the first preparation we must make is to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And Paul, all through Ephesians, in chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, in chapter 3, verse 16, in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, to name just three, has been talking about the mighty power that we have. Let's just read one of those. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Be strong in the Lord's power, he says. Don't wander from him. Keep close to him. Don't let your confidence be shaken. Our first preparation for this battle is to be strong in the Lord, to do the things that allow us to be there. That's why we continue to provide a daily blog on our website, because we want people to be strong in the Lord, to engage with him every day. The second preparation is to put on our armour. Verse 13, therefore put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. No armor is the sure way to lose a battle. Now, we're not going to look at all of these in details, but we want to see this, that the emphasis is on what? The nature of the armour is God's. Therefore, put on the full armour of God. It is complete, full. It is available. Put on the full armour of God. Now, I'm not a great clothes shopper and I don't particularly enjoy going to look for clothes, but I do know that if I leave them on the rack rather than try them on — no, we can't try them on in most shops these days, but before COVID, we try them on to see if they were suitable. You had to put them on for them to be any use for you, to you. And the exact same thing is true of the armour of God. We have to put it on if it is going to be any use to us. It's provided, it's complete, but it's useless unless we put it on. But what does it mean to put on the full armour of God? Actually, it means together being the people God wants us to be. That's the point. And it actually points back to a chapter in Isaiah. Let me just read you Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 5. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. Isaiah pictures that this armour has been there for, you know, Isaiah sees the same picture, that this armour is here for us. And then chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse 17, he puts on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. The whole point about this, you see, is this. The putting on the armour of God means being the people God wants us to be. And all the armour description has at its base the very character of God. He, of course, is the one who is righteous, truthful. He is the one who brings peace. He is the one who is the author of salvation. The point Paul is making is this, that actually for us to put on the armour is to be the people God wants us to be, to understand all he has given us, that he has given us his righteousness, his truth, but also that we have to live that out. We have to be righteous, we have to be truthful. The more we're aiming to be like Jesus, the better protected we will be. That makes sense, doesn't it? Just think about when we're tempted to sin. The more I'm trying to be like Jesus, the better protected I will be as I face temptation. Just think about when life is hard. The more I'm trying to be about like Jesus, the more I think about him, the more I'll realize he fought the battle when life was hard, including dying on a cross. When, as he said in Gethsemane, this isn't the way I want to go, but not my will, but yours be done. As we reflect on that, we will fight on. We need to be prepared for this battle by being strong in the Lord, by putting on God's armour. So we need to know that the battle is worth fighting. We need to be prepared. Thirdly, we need to know what victory looks like. We need to know what victory looks like. Verse 11. Put on the armour of God so that you can take your stand. Verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Every day you and I end the day still Christian, still standing as a Christian, that is victory. Every day we as a community stand firm as Christians, that is victory. Whether life has been good or not, whether we're struggling with the consequences of COVID, either on our mental health or our physical health or our relational health. It is a victorious day when as a community and as individuals we stand at the end of it. So proud of so many people who are still standing as God's people. I've been much encouraged by home groups and the annual meeting and various other places where it is obvious that this is happening. Will you join with us as we stand together, as we stand as individuals, whether that's at home or at work or in the community? We want to stand together for Jesus. But Paul doesn't quite end there. Having told us that we need to be those who understand the battle is worth fighting, who are prepared for the battle, having helped us to understand the provisions we have. He now helps us to understand that we need to pray in the midst of the battle. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul says if we're going to stand in the battle, if we're going to know what victory looks like, we will have to be a praying people. And notice what he says here. It's the inclusiveness of this verse, the extravagance of it that is difficult for us. One commentator has said, we tend to read this verse or wish it was written as, and pray in the Spirit on some occasions with some kinds of prayers for some of God's people. And actually, it's the fact that that word all is there again and again and again. If we are to stand in the battle, we need to be a praying people. That's why Tuesday mornings at 9 and Thursdays at 7 matter. It's why prayers in home groups matter. It's why whenever we pray matters individually and corporately. If we are truly ready to fight the battle, it will show in our prayers. Your prayer life will show whether you know the battle is worth fighting. Your prayer life will show whether you are prepared for the battle. Your prayer life will show whether you understand that it's victory to stand. Now, I guess like me, you're finding this immensely challenging. Sometimes I look at my own prayer life and think, oh, I wish it was deeper, broader, wider, more spiritual. Can I say, be careful. Be careful not to get so that you despair that you will never pray properly. God is interested in us praying. And so can I encourage you not to think about, oh, I wish it was better. Just pray. That's what Paul encourages us to do now. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This battle is worth fighting individually and together. May God be glorified through us as individuals and as a church family. But may we too make sure that we're prepared for the battle, that we recognize that standing is victory, and that we are praying. For if the Apostle Paul asked for prayer, we know that we too need to be praying for one another, that we would stand. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to stand for you in all that we are and do. In Jesus' name, amen.